hear me okay? I got this right, okay. I've heard really good things about Ovail, and glad to finally be here and find out that they're all true. Really looking forward to the opening night. I'm going to read some old poems and some new poems. The first one is a new poem. We were in Greece, in Athens in December of last year, right when the riots were happening. We were very safe. The people we were with knew where to go and where not to go, and there was no problem, but it was a fascinating time to be there. Before we got there, we thought we understood that an innocent 15-year-old, had been accidentally shot and killed by a police officer, and that was why the riot started. That was indeed the spark that lit the tinder, but of course there was a lot more going on than we realized, a lot more complicated than we realized, and when we got there, we discovered that. And this poem is about that. It's also just about Athens, which is an incredibly passionate, intense, argumentative, wonderful place. Storm in Athens. Lightning makes the coldest light. Shows me the laurel tree as it flails against the window, black fruit like eyes peering in. Shows me us in bed not touching, clutching the blanket satin edge. This storm is sex sounds behind the wall, a biker battering a car roof with his helmet, feral cats showing claws yards from the floodlit necropolis. It's light-up Santas outside shops full of prayer beads and life-sized wooden cots. It's the skeleton of the Christmas tree the rioters set fire to. It's a cab driver shouting, "Call the mister!" It's a broken glass and water rising its Oreo Speedwagon's greatest hit. The lightning shows me myself, overripe, easily bruised. Sometimes I am your wife and I have questions. Sometimes I'm a teen posed on the corner with all the answers. What can we mean by justice when history's heavy fruit bends our branches to the ground? How can I hear you above my heart's own feral sounds? Keeping up the theme of violence and conflict, this is an older poem. A friend of mine, Denise O'Neill, was on the flight that was blown up over Lockerbie, Scotland in December of 1988 by Libyan terrorists, as it turned out. I didn't really care where they were from, but there you go. She was 20. When she died, and I was 20 when she died and had no idea how young 20 actually is, but I know now. This is for Denise and it's called Winter Eggs. I thought of Denise in the deli section of Atkins Market because she used to work there. I saw her for an instant under the fluorescence in that stupid red apron Mr. Atkins made her wear, and I thought, don't forget to call her. And did I remember the eggs? Walking uphill into the wind, hugging the groceries, scarred and shriveled apples from the orchard underfoot, I'm trying to name the song that was on the Muzak, thinking also of an omelet and a strong cup of coffee, a winter lunch. Gretchen is waiting at the top of the driveway, too pale, not waving, hugging her body. Where is her coat? When I reach her, she tells me, "Put down the groceries," so I balance them on the hood of a car. Something to tell you, Denise, call her Eggs Scotland, was on that plane that we saw on the news. Grass on fire, seatbelts hanging from trees. The groceries start to slide, Gretchen steadies them. My voice is like ice, creaking and shattering under our feet. I remember. The song on the news app was Fire and Rain, and I saw her, for an instant, her brown arms on the counter, giggling with me about Hank Armstrong, asking if I wanted to go swimming at the reservoir when she got off work. But that was summer. We're deep in winter now. The reservoir is silent, choked with ice. I remembered the eggs, and I came home, and next I would have called her. We head inside. Gretchen carries the groceries. Later she puts them away. Snowy white eggs, whole and perfect, safely away in the refrigerator. Thank you. This is a slightly lighter poem about the spread of war and violence. I was a teenager in Reagan's America. You can tell by my voice probably I'm from the U.S. And so in Reagan's America, we were always expecting somebody was going to push that big red button and we were all just going to vanish. Being 14, this kind of appealed to me in a kind of a sad apocalyptic way. So this is a poem about being 14, and it's called 14. John Lennon is dead, and I hate everyone. Mom undercooks the pancakes so a gray glue leaks from them, merging with the syrup. My brother says he likes them runny and eats them. Suck up. Mom purrs. 3 is always 2 and 1. Dad lives 1 bus and 2 subway stops away, so I am Harvey in the Morning Girl, Q102 FM. I'm a smoker, I'm a toker, instant karma's gonna get ya, gonna shoot the whole day down. A dial switch from mom's station, WMGK, where the magic is the music. Q102 is permanent dust. Purple shaded, sidewalk breathing, tickle belly twilight, or pale painted vampires like me lope down South Street, rehearsing for apocalypse in doorways, kissing the world goodbye every night. How annoying. Find it still there in the morning. Okay. So we've done violence, and it might be time for some sex. This is a new poem. And God help us, the true story. If I can find it, here we go. It's called Going At It. Saturday's Trinity. Clothesline, lawnmower, sink. A new ache in my back. Mr. H blows me a kiss. I feel it land, flutter like a moth against my neck. Our neighbor's mouth is stuck in permanent O. Mrs. H, did you see them? 3 o'clock this morning. Young couple on the green, going at it. She happened to look out her bedroom window. Her face is flushed, her hands fisted. The wretch's arms thrown open like Jesus on the cross. Shameless. I should have phoned the guards. I bite my lips to remember our first summer. The night I lifted my dress in Father Burke Park. The scrabbly grass, his sudden cool flesh. Who watched, I wonder, from which dark window? How long ago? How long have I been this housewife who hangs laundry as it grows dark? And when was the last time I asked Mr. H to take a walk in the park? This is also sort of a little bit about sex, and it's also true. It's called Number, it's very short. Number 30 Mexico Plum for Kevin. The flame touch. Soft, wet tickle, a brush stroke on toes. He gives me coat after coat, lavender becoming purple, becoming blood black. I undulate white above his 10 tiny canvases. And all winter, beneath my solemn socks and waterproof boots, I will know my toes wear the party hat of number 30 Mexico Plum he gives. Sorry, I had to look at my cheat sheet. I can remember what I want to do next. This is a poet as well, and this is about a time in our marriage when his second collection was coming out, and I didn't even have a first collection. I was trying really hard to be happy for him. And mostly succeeding, but not every day, not every minute of every day.
He's following me everywhere.
That's my husband's book, there with the eyes, and I highly recommend it. This is called Part of Me. Part of me is here amidst the glasses and shiny hardback covers. Part of me toys with my fork and orders the watercress soup, smiles into a blue evening. White sails caterpillared across the marina. Part of me blinks the TV actor, the singer-songwriter, the Nobel laureate. Every conversation is a Gerber daisy opening to the sun. Here in my lace shawl, legs swinging beneath the heavy tablecloth, the child allowed at the grown-up's table. Part of me is here by the grace of God and good people, friends in common, amidst the sick perfume of coffee and cleverness. Success is a white stranger on the stairs who might or might not be beckoning. Part of me is still at home in silence, thin smoke drifting from an extinguished candle, my toes curled in damp socks, the bed a tattered raft. Part of me makes instant anything, envies the microwave bulb its definite glare, wonders if I'm still emitting any rays at all. Mutes the phone, so when it doesn't ring, it's only part of my plan. Part of me talks to myself about waiting for buses that never come. Avoid sitting in your empty chair. And wherever you are, however many people slurp your words and pat your back, however many hulking cars line the curb waiting to take you anywhere you want to go, part of me is always climbing in beside you, and part of me is always somewhere else. Inspired by the story of Little Red Riding Hood, and it's the story from the grandmother's point of view, and it's called Granny. Here's the thing. Rescued. Who said I needed rescue? I could fight my own way out of a wolf's belly, keep a nail file in my pocket, learn that as a girl. I'm not afraid of blood, darkness, or hard work. I know the sticky sucking sound, the rush of air and light, the slide through the smiling wounds back into life. Cries the woodsman, "You're rescued!" Who said I needed rescue? I decide when it's time to leave the sheltering cell behind, return to the surface. Sings my grandchild, "We're rescued!" She still believes in rescue. Slips her red cape onto his shoulders, now he's Superman, grins as he holds her. That's her life decided. The cottage is quiet after they go. Dead dog in the bed, sawdust on the lino. I don't need a hero for the rescue, but after. To hold the dustpan, kiss my hair, call me his angel. This is so much fun. Thank you, you guys. I mean, it was such a nice time. What seems to be the problem, this is a poem for anyone who's ever felt like their doctor wasn't fully understanding, or indeed wasn't actually listening to what they were saying. What seems to be the problem? It's written all over my body. My breasts and neck scorched, no maiden's blush, but fingers of flame, such as once devoured witches. My scalp too tight, my heart juddered, my sleep torn open by panic bird talons, bulb patches on my memory. After hundreds of cycles, my blood's gone shy, withdrawn like the nervous girl at a party who hides herself in the loo. It's written all over my body, but illegible to the woman who studies my chart looking for loopholes, distracted by coughs in the waiting room. I've done my homework, kept track of dates, interviewed aunties, grasped hormonal histories. I know this is the start of the marshy autumn between tart and crumb. It's written all over my body, but she is illiterate. 10 years my junior, a cheerleader type, she closes my file. I shrink to the size of a single tick box. She leans forward in the confiding pose they taught her in school and recommends stress management. She smiles and says, try yoga. As she glances me out the door, I think about bashing her blonde head in with her framed diploma. How's that for stress management, honey bunch? Just do two more in there next to each other pages, which is helpful. This is a poem about the road not taken, and it's called Daughter. You are such a quiet child, muddy, soft, still part animal. Kneeling in the backyard, wielding a plastic spade, chewing your bottom lip, unearthing worms. Stripes of dirt under your nails, your head just a little too big for your body, your jacket, Christmas red. Letters make words, lines, music, you. I close the book, you are unmade. The chance we couldn't take, the plastic spade vanishes. The child who would only wail if I tried to work on a poem, the hole in the backyard fills. Your muddy tracks on the kitchen floor peel away. I'm not sure I'm big enough to hold the words and you. You would suffer for my smallness. Your red jacket fades into cold clouds. The fragrance of your hair becomes the scent promised to me. The worms furrow, undisturbed. One more quick one. It was kind of about being an American in Ireland, although, to be honest, I think y'all treat Americans too well in Ireland. We get away with far too much. But you know, occasionally it doesn't work that way. But actually, it's a poem about having the guts to be who you actually are, which is not always as easy as it sounds. So, this is a poem called Daisy. I take up space. With my sun-freckled brow, my fat French lips, my fat American vowels. Tomato. Aluminum. Mall. The American is laughing. My love-bitten neck, my big fat thighs, my personality. Soft as the sheen of sweat. I take up space. Sip coffee. The cafe is dead at this hour, sun captive in glass. They take up space. With their proper posture, shrill lipstick, brittle opinions propped up by distinguished gentlemen distant or dead, themselves propped up by extinguished gentlemen fucked up or flagged. They take up space, these women and their ghosts. They summon the waitress. Sit tea, glare at me. They think I take up too much space, that I've ruined my husband, the poor lad. And I have. It's true. Ruined him. Like a suburban lawn is ruined by the daisy's wide awake eye.